be here, and I'll be here, and we'll all get together again here on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Oh, you have. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. The stock market rallied today following the release of commentary from the Federal Reserve September meeting. The Fed determined there was no dissent to the central bank's decision to cut interest rates by half a percentage point last month. We'll have the numbers coming up in business. A private security firm in Baghdad opened fire in an intersection today, killing two Iraqi women. No report yet on which security firm was involved in the shooting, and the incident is under investigation. The shooting comes at a particularly tense time when the Iraqi government is requesting that security firm Blackwater USA pay $8 million to each of the families of the victims killed in a shootout in September. Violence flared in Iraq today, claiming the lives of 44 people. 19 died in suicide car bombings in the north aimed at a local police chief and a Sunni sheikh. A report just released by the White House says that al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report, titled National Strategy for Homeland Security, also said al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the U.S. The Supreme Court won't hear a lawsuit from a man who claims he was abducted and tortured by the CIA. The Bush administration did not acknowledge that Khalid al-Masri was detained and said state secrets would be revealed if the lawsuit were not blocked. Late last night, searchers located the wreckage of a plane and seven bodies in the rugged terrain of the Cascade Mountains. Authorities say that the three others on board likely did not survive. This year's Nobel Prize for Physics has gone to a French and German scientist. The men are credited for independently discovering a physical effect which allows computer and digital devices to store large amounts of data on increasingly smaller hard drives. The United Auto Workers and Chrysler are at the bargaining table today to negotiate wages and benefits. Union members say they will strike tomorrow morning if an agreement on a new contract cannot be reached. ConAgra Foods, the maker of Banquet pot pies, has investigated claims by several state health departments that its chicken and turkey pot pies may be linked to cases of salmonella. A spokesman for ConAgra said so far there have been no recalls. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
American Electric Power Company of Columbus, Ohio, was ordered to reduce emissions by at least 69% over the next 10 years and pay over $80 million in penalties for spreading acid rain across the Northeast. British and French doctors have discovered that treating patients quickly for mini strokes may cut the risk of a major stroke later. Researchers found that patients treated immediately had only about a 2% chance of having a larger stroke in the next 3 months. More and more children are taking prescription drugs for heartburn and other digestive problems. Research shows there's been an increase of 56% since 2002. TiVo and music service provider Rhapsody are teaming up. Owners of the digital video recorder who have broadband-connected internet set-top boxes will now be able to stream music from Rhapsody. Yum Brands, owner of Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut, posted a 17% increase in quarterly profits due to strong sales in China. Gold is trading up $4.40 at $743.10. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $80.28 a barrel. And on Wall Street, a late surge, the Dow Jones closed up 109 points at 14,156. The NASDAQ closed up 15 points, and the S&P 500 up 11 points. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. If you wanted the United States to be weak, if you wanted to truly let the terrorists win, if you wanted to destroy the United States for a generation or more, what would you do? Well, first of all, even though you knew that a man by the name of Bin Laden was determined to attack the United States, you would do nothing about it. You wouldn't follow your predecessor, Bill Clinton, or his national security advisor as they demanded that you take action. You would simply do nothing and go on vacation, let the attacks occur, and, oh, by the way, not scramble enough planes up there in time to stop the destruction and murder of 3,000 Americans. Next thing you do, although, is you try to convince the terrorism czar, then by the name of Richard Clark, that a different country was involved other than Afghanistan. You'd try three times. When he failed three times, you'd begin a perfunctory war in Afghanistan, and then very soon after, move all your troops and more to another country, to a different country, to a country that had nothing to do with September 11th. And you would do that to make sure that the world understood that the United States was not acting in self-defense, but was being a bully, was attacking a country for its oil revenue. You would, in essence, prove Bin Laden right when he said the United States is out to conquer the world rather than defend its own interests. Then what else would you do? Well, one thing is you'd make sure to get rid of any of the U.S. moral authority. In a battle between good and evil, in a battle between us and terrorists, between us and Bin Laden, in a battle between human rights and lack of human rights, you would make sure that the United States came down on the side of torture. You'd get rid of due process. You'd throw away the Constitution. You would make sure that we did everything the former Soviet Union did: hold people without trial, ruthlessly torture people, make sure that they don't get lawyers, don't even give them charges. Because if you didn't do that, if you acted like Americans normally act, then the world would be on our side. People would feel sorry for us. People would support us. We would have a coalition all working together to stop the terrorists. But if you wanted the terrorists to win, you would do what this administration has done. You would do your best to destroy American moral authority while also taking actions to make sure that the terrorists succeed, not just in preventing them to begin with, but in little ways, ways such as revealing your sources and methods. So at the same time as you have an administration that refuses to say what constitutes torture, Bush will say 1,000 times, "We don't torture." At the same time as he hides secret memos that say slapping someone in the head isn't torture, leaving someone in 50-degree temperature for days on end, simulating drowning, preventing sleep, none of that's torture. We'll get to a little bit more on that later on, and frankly, I'm going to devote the entire show tomorrow to torture and tortured logic and give you all the details of this administration, not just its torture program, but how it lied repeatedly to the American people and to the world. It continues to lie today about its torture program. But another thing that you would do that just came out in today's newspaper is you'd make sure that even when we successfully spy on Al-Qaeda, you'd ruin those methods. After all, if another nation is successfully spying on Al-Qaeda, how embarrassing to the United States. How embarrassing to the United States that Rita Katz, a 44-year-old Israeli woman, is able to spy on Al-Qaeda better than we. She's really done an amazing job. You have to give her credit. She, like most Israelis, is from the Middle East. Her family was originally from Iraq. In fact, her father was killed by Saddam Hussein. She was one of the hundreds of thousands of Jews that left Iraq to go to Israel soon after Israel was founded, leaving the ancient Babylonian community, part of that refugee exchange that occurred in a one way. Of course, the Arabs, in contrast, never accepted the Arabs from what became Israel to become citizens of their country. But anyway, Rita Katz certainly knew Iraq well, knows the Middle East well. She has done an amazing thing. Her company has managed to obtain Al-Qaeda videos before they're published. She has managed to track back and find out secrets about Al-Qaeda. It may indeed be her work that has managed to get us closer to capturing or killing Osama bin Laden than ever before. Intelligence officials have said privately that she has been tremendously helpful, quote unquote, in ferreting out Al-Qaeda secrets over time. So when bin Laden's new video came out, she did the United States a favor. She turned it over to the White House. First, she asked the White House if they had a copy. They said they did not. And then she gave them a copy. She not only gave them a copy, she told them how she got it. That was clearly a mistake. Because the administration, the same administration that argues that Democrats don't want to end the war in Iraq or hoping the terrorists win, that same administration ruined this wonderful source. They downloaded the video, and within a few hours, news sites all over the United States, Fox News first, of course, was warned about the video. And Katz had said to the White House, had made a deal with them, had said, hey, look, do not say that you have this ahead of Al-Qaeda publishing it. We don't want Al-Qaeda to know that we're monitoring them. After all, apparently the United States isn't succeeding very well. This Israeli company is. We don't want anyone to know that we're doing this. But by mid-afternoon, the video, the transcript had all been leaked to cable television news worldwide. Al-Qaeda noticed this, and they have now changed this, their video, so that we cannot... Katz's company can no longer get its source the way it did. It all started at 3 p.m. on Fox News. That's right, Fox News, the Fox propaganda channel, the same channel that is so busy arguing that Democrats are helping the terrorists. Fox News, in combination with the White House, disclosed a source into Al-Qaeda. Fox News, the Fox propaganda channel, in conjunction with someone or many at the White House, has ruined our best chance to capture or kill Osama bin Laden since George Bush let him go at Tora Bora in 2001. That's something I don't think they're going to report. It's amazing stuff, really. It's amazing that anyone would help Al-Qaeda in that way. But what's perhaps more amazing is these are the same people that are accusing Democrats of helping Al-Qaeda when they argue that we should devote more resources to attacking Al-Qaeda rather than trying to police a civil war in Iraq. Toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Got a lot to talk about. Everything going on in the world, how to lose a war on terrorism, why it is this administration doing such a good job of it. I'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking today about how to lose a war on terrorism, how to make America's enemies stronger. What would be the best way? Let's say you were determined to help al-Qaeda. You wanted to help Kim Jong-il in North Korea, and Putin in Russia. You wanted to extend dictatorships, increase nuclear proliferation, murder American citizens, harm our troops. Could you find a better way than this administration has done it? I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying the administration is intentionally trying to murder Americans, ruin American image worldwide, make our troops weaker, weaken our influence around the world, increase nuclear proliferation, ruin democracy's chances around the world. I'm not saying it's done intentionally. I don't know their motivations, other than helping their political contributors make more money. Maybe it's all just negligent. But let's explore, again, assuming you wanted to lose a war on terrorism, assuming you wanted to make America's enemies stronger, what would you do? Let's look at North Korea. Now, North Korea is a difficult thing. It's a tough task. Here you have a totalitarian dictator, ruthless in his own country. We had fought a war on the Korean Peninsula, and it's very hard to invade North Korea, given they have an army of hundreds of thousands on the border and are supported, or at least were supported to a large extent, by China, and probably would be supported if we tried to invade. So it's not easy to deal with North Korea. And North Korea was not only under Bill Clinton starting to develop nuclear weapons, but starting to share them with terrorists abroad, starting to share them with countries that were supporting terrorists. So what did Bill Clinton do? Well, he used a combination of carrot and sticks, and he signed an agreement with North Korea. And we provided certain food aid and other aid to him. At the same time, we had cameras and strict inspections to make sure that he didn't develop nuclear weapons. And indeed, under Bill Clinton, Kim Jong-il did not develop nuclear weapons. But under George Bush, he did. Who lost Korea? George Walker Bush. While we were busy in Iraq, North Korea simply threw out the inspectors, threw away the cameras, and started very quickly developing nuclear weapons. We did nothing. Nothing in terms of negotiation, nothing in terms of sanctions, and he developed them. Now, you may remember the debate between George Bush and John Kerry back in 2004. Kerry said we need immediate bilateral negotiations with North Korea. At the same time as there were discussions with China and Japan and South Korea and all the others. But we needed immediately to stop him from making nuclear weapons. Bush said at that time, that's what President Clinton did. It's going to ruin the whole thing. We don't need bilateral negotiations. We need to continue all these six-nation negotiations. Kim Jong-il didn't honor the agreement. Well, what happened? Now, 6 years later, after North Korea has socked away a number of nuclear bombs and indeed sold them, or at least nuclear technology, to some very dangerous countries. Most recently, it seems, they sold either nuclear technology or a dirty bomb to Syria, which Israel took out prior to Syria being able to give it to Hezbollah and beginning a nice nuclear World War III. Oops. Turns out that George Bush has finally made a deal bilaterally with North Korea. It's not as good as Clinton's deal, but it is a deal nonetheless. He did exactly what John Kerry said he should do, exactly what he criticized John Kerry for doing. And we know North Korea is required to give a complete declaration by December 31st, and we're going to move to a diplomatic relationship, full diplomatic relations, which, by the way, Clinton didn't even offer. We're giving them everything. And they're going to promise to come clean by December 31st. I hope they do. I'm not so sure they will. It was Ronald Reagan, right, who famously said, trust but verify. That's what Bill Clinton did. Are we going to verify with North Korea? Well, I don't know. I fear we're going to give them everything before they give us anything. The president of the Korea Economic Institute, a man by the name of Charles Pritchard, has said, quote, my sense is that North Korea thinks they can ask for and get whatever they want from the Bush administration because the administration is so eager to demonstrate a diplomatic achievement. The North Koreans are rubbing their hands together with glee. So here we are on another front, another part of the axis of evil. We've not only helped North Korea get nuclear weapons, but finally, Bush has come to a deal. It's not as good as Clinton's deal, by basically retracting his entire policy over the last 6 years. Turning to another nation, another enemy of the United States, or let's say a former enemy of the United States, and possibly a future one. Let's talk about the greatest power on earth, apart from our own. A nation that arised from the ashes of what used to be called the other superpower, the Soviet Union. Let's talk about Russia. Remember Russia? Remember how, after decades and trillions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of lives lost in a Cold War, remember how Russia imploded? How Boris Yeltsin stood on a tank? How the people themselves took back their government and proclaimed democracy? And when there was a coup d'etat in 1993, again under Bill Clinton, we helped support Yeltsin, and he stayed in power. He had his own problems, it's true. But Russia was a democracy through 2000. Well, Vladimir Putin has taken over. And the one thing that we thought we knew about Vladimir Putin was that at least he couldn't violate the Russian Constitution, which says you can't run for a third term as president of Russia. So no matter how much he closed down the press, no matter how much he put his political opponents in jail, no matter how much he took Russia from the democracy under Yeltsin back into an authoritarian government, we knew that at least in 08 he would leave and we'd have a new leader. Well, Vladimir Putin has changed his mind. Now he said in 08 he'll become prime minister instead of president. Now I want you to think about this. Because whatever you think about Iraq, really a minor inconvenience, or whatever you think about Al-Qaeda, let's say a major inconvenience, neither of them have anywhere close to the power or the nuclear weapons or the armed forces as Russia. Russia is an extremely dangerous country. And as it slides from democracy to dictatorship, what is our country doing? George W. Bush famously trusts Putin's heart. Great, great. Maybe that's a mistake, George. In the 1950s, one of the reasons Republicans finally took power from Harry Truman was because they said that the Democrats lost China. Here we had supported an authoritarian dictatorship that was not communist. It was overturned by an authoritarian dictatorship that was communist. And the argument was the Democrats lost China. In future times, they will talk about who lost Russia. They will wonder why it is that we didn't use this magical 15-20-year period following the fall of the Soviet Union to help encourage democratic institutions in Russia. That this administration that talks so much about promoting democracy in the Middle East, a place it's fair to say where apart from Turkey and Israel there is no democracy, instead has completely ignored democracy in Russia. I thought this was an administration that cared about democracy. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen in Russia, folks. Vladimir Putin's party is going to win in December. His hand-picked candidate will win in March's presidential election. And Russia, slowly but assuredly, will slip back into being the dictatorship and the enemy of the United States that it was for decades. And we're not even watching it. Instead, we're watching a war in Iraq. If you wanted to help America's enemies, if you wanted to lose a war on terrorism, if you wanted to lose democracy, if you wanted to make the world a more dangerous place, could you ever do better than the Bush administration has done? I think not. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the torture memo, Bush's lies there, and other ways in which we are losing the war on terror. Then, like I said, tomorrow we're going to devote the entire show to torture and the tortured logic of the Bush administration. We'll be right back. Hey, call in if you want. Join in the discussion. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, Be practical. Get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. When Bush, even at his lowest point in the polls this August, demanded that the Democrats give him the power to spy on Americans that he'd already abused, the Democrats caved in. And as they have on the Iraq occupation, they vowed to rectify the situation when they returned from their recess. Now they're back, and they've done nothing to end the Iraq occupation. In fact, they keep funding it. And they're not fully rectifying the so-called Protect America Act, which gave Bush the power to bypass the FISA court. To their credit, the Democrats have introduced a bill that would make the administration go back to the FISA court. The problem is the new bill, like the Protect America Act, would give the administration the ability to issue general warrants, which would be valid for a year and which would not have to specify the targets or the facilities that need to be searched or seized. The conversations you and I have here in the U.S. could be swept up by these general warrants. Now, the founders of our Constitution rebelled against England in part because of these kinds of general warrants that King George was slapping on Americans. Now, the current King George is up to this old trick, and the Democrats, amazingly, are letting him get away with it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Toll-free number 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. If you wanted to lose a war on terrorism, as I said, you have to get rid of the U.S.'s moral authority. After all, when Osama bin Laden and his ilk murdered 3,000 Americans, most of the world, including most of the Arab world, including the great majority of Muslims around the globe, recoiled against his attack on innocent civilians and condemned him and supported the United States. How could you, if you wanted to help al-Qaeda, how could you encourage more Arabs, more Muslims to join al-Qaeda? How could you raise their profile all over the world and encourage more people to think that September 11th was justified? Not an easy thing to do. America was seen as a beacon of freedom and democracy around the globe. In Tiananmen Square, famously in 1989, the Chinese students raised the Statue of Liberty. Not any other nations. They could have brought up Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité, the French Revolution's cry of liberty, equality, fraternity. They didn't. They used American symbols. We were seen as a beacon of freedom. Well, the first thing you would have to do is you'd have to take people, put them in secret prisons, hold them without a lawyer, without charges, hold them indefinitely. And the next thing you'd have to do was torture. As I said, we're going to spend all day tomorrow talking about torture and about these memos. But the main thing that you need to understand is that every single time the Bush administration says and continues to say we don't torture, they continued to torture. Just this week, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says, quote, it's a policy of the United States, we do not torture and we do not, unquote. George Bush said, I have never approved an order of torture. But it all depends on what the definition of torture is. See, George Bush doesn't consider it torture to leave someone outside in the cold for days on end until they start to get frostbite. George Bush does not consider it torture to have sleep deprivation, to not allow someone to sleep. Now, I think you know how hard it is when you go 2 or 3 days without sleep. Think how hard it is to go for weeks on end without the chance to dream. George Bush doesn't think it's torture to slap people in the head hard. Nor, of course, does he think it's torture to have simulated drowning. Now, Congress responded. John McCain, who I've criticized on other matters, came up on this and said, no, we cannot torture. I've been tortured. It ain't good. One, it doesn't get the good information that we want. People often lie and do whatever, say whatever they need to do to stop the torture. But number two, it is wrong. It is against American values. And they passed a law, Congress did, to stop torture, at which point the Justice Department reinterpreted that law to say that we can do whatever we want. It's still not torture. Unless it leads to organ failure. So let's say you put bamboo shoots under someone's fingernails. No organs there. Let's say you put someone on the rack and stretch them. No organs. What if you cut off someone's fingers and toes? Those aren't organs. The standard, Congress said, is cruel, inhumane, or degrading. But the Bush administration has said that nothing it's doing, by definition, is cruel, inhumane, or degrading. We're going to talk in detail about how this happened tomorrow and the other secret memos that are coming out. And, of course, as usual, the person who is saying, yes, sir, boss, is Alberto Gonzalez. The people who are ordering it be done are our old standbys. Vice President Cheney, of course, is in charge. And his two lawyers, David Addington, and someone I had the misfortune to go to your law school with, John Yoo. We'll talk all about that tomorrow. Although you're welcome to call in about it today. But the point is, in this conversation, that if you wanted to attract more adherents to Al-Qaeda, if you wanted to encourage more people to murder innocent Americans, if you wanted to make sure that our troops, when captured, were tortured, if you wanted to be certain that no one could stand up for America's moral authority in the world and that people would take glee at helping our enemies destroy America, if you wanted to make sure that when people got intelligence about Al-Qaeda, it wasn't shared with the U.S. government, and that when people knew of U.S. troop movements, they would tell them to Al-Qaeda, all you have to do is make America the leader in torture. George Bush has done more to help America's enemies than any American since Benedict Arnold. Any American in power, I should say. And you know what? I did all this without even talking about Iraq. Because, of course, in Iraq, it's the worst of all. We have in the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki an admission from a former Iraqi investigator the government is so corrupt that not only do they give dozens of family members of the people in government huge loads of cash, but they've actually murdered at least 50 separate anti-corruption employees or their family members who've tried to investigate the corruption. $18 billion thus far has been lost. So when you're paying your taxes to go for the war in Iraq, and I want to talk about that a little after the break too, would the administration support a war in Iraq if they actually had to pay for it? We'll get to that. But just know that $18 billion has been lost. Now, Henry Waxman, one of my heroes, the chairman of the Government Relations Committee, has been asking the Government Accountability Office, the State Department, some details about this corruption and whether the Iraqi government can stop it. Here's the quote that Waxman asked Larry Butler, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, and the person sent by the State Department is most knowledgeable about the government of Iraq. Quote, do you believe that the government of Iraq currently has the political will or the capability to root out corruption within its government? Butler said, quote, Mr. Chairman, questions like that are best answered in a classified setting. Waxman tried several times. Butler kept responding, I'm only going to tell you in private. So Waxman asked this wonderful, wonderful question, quote, why can you talk about the positive things and not the negative things? Shouldn't we have the whole picture? Response, Mr. Chairman, I'd be very pleased to answer those questions in an appropriate setting. Waxman, an appropriate setting for positive things is a congressional hearing, but to say anything negative has to be behind closed doors? Butler, this goes to the very heart of diplomatic relations and national security. Waxman, it goes to the heart of propaganda. We now have Maliki ignoring the Iraqi constitution, which set up a commission on public integrity, and going back to Saddam Hussein laws that allow him to control the very watchdogs that are supposed to watch his government. Yes, my fellow Americans, this is what we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars for. This is what we're losing thousands of American lives, tens of thousands of American wounded, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians dead, millions in exile, all to prop up a government that is increasingly becoming as corrupt as Saddam Hussein's and doesn't even support us. Doesn't even support the United States. Franklin Roosevelt once famously said of Anastasio Somoza, the Nicaraguan dictator, he's a bastard, but he's our bastard. These bastards aren't even our bastards. They're just bastards. Toll-free number 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. How do you think this administration is helping the terrorists win? Be right back after this.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please. Because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a police dog craving for a fire.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored, hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism, and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. If you wanted to lose the war on terrorism, if you wanted to help America's enemies, if you wanted to harm the United States' image around the world, if you wanted to encourage more people to join in attacks against American civilians, to not give intelligence to the United States, to give indeed intelligence to our enemies, if you wanted to encourage our enemies to get nuclear weapons, could you think of a better policy than the United States? Could you think of a better way to do it than the Bush administration has done? In Iran, the Supreme Leader Khamenei actually allowed a free election back in the early part of this decade. And the Iranian people, to their credit, elected a moderate president, a man by the name of Khatami. He didn't have that much power, just like the current wacko president doesn't. But they elected him in a free election. And it was our chance to take the third part of the axis of evil and dialogue with Iran and help bring it into the family of nations. We didn't do that, of course. As with Russia, we completely ignored Iran and its moderate president. George Bush didn't even meet with the guy. And so, of course, he failed, and Khamenei recognized that he couldn't allow a moderate man to run for president again, and so now we have the wacko, Holocaust-denying, gay-denying, horrible, you know, wipe Israel away president that we have, developing nuclear weapons. Leaving that for the next president to deal with. If you wanted to help America's enemies, if you wanted to help Iran, you would destroy not just Al-Qaeda to its east, which was a threat to the United States, you'd destroy Saddam Hussein to the west, which was a greater threat to Iran than he ever was to the United States of America. And you would help Iran install a government in Iraq that was loyal to Iran. Our troops are now dying, helping Iran by killing Sunni and helping Al-Qaeda by killing Shia, helping our two greatest enemies. If you wanted to help the terrorists, if you wanted to convince Iraq that America is an evil occupation force, you could do no better than to hire mercenaries that are loyal not to even the United States, certainly not to Iraq. Mercenaries that are loyal to no one. People like Blackwater and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown Root. One U.S. official was talking recently about the Blackwater guards. See, they drive in U.S. Humvees just like our military does. They're often confused for our military. Who can blame the Iraqi civilians? And they do things like our military does. If you've ever seen the video I did on this question last time I addressed it, and it's all on my website, I urge you to check it out under the video archive. It's under the program, Are We Creating More Terrorists Than We Kill? You see that American Humvees regularly drive on the wrong side of the street. We drive on the left side of the road, even though Iraqis like us drive on the right side of the road. And basically, you're driving down the street and you see a tank heading for you, towards you in your lane. You curve out of the way in time, but it really doesn't please you very much, does it? It now appears that the Blackwater incident occurred on a very similar basis, as a number of Blackwater Humvees headed down the wrong lane. I mean, you know, if Iraq drove on the left side like Great Britain, maybe you'd understand it, but they don't. They drive on the right side. So why were we on the left side on a major highway? As one military official put it about Blackwater, quote, they tend to overreact. They maneuver around town very aggressively. They've got weapons pointed at people. They cut people off. Of course, their speeds. I mean, a whole bunch of things they do fairly consistently, but when it comes to shooting and firing, they tend to shoot quicker than others, the U.S. military official said. Now, here's the kicker. Blackwater has been unwilling to share information about the incident with the U.S. military. I'm going to repeat that one. You know what happened. Blackwater killed more than a dozen Iraqi civilians. They say it's because they were fired on. But they refused to share information, not just with the Iraqi government, but with the United States military. Who the heck are they working for? Our tax money pays for them, and they're not going to share information with the U.S. military? As their CEO said, this is all under investigation. We're not going to talk about it in the public session. When did that become the norm? The idea that because something is being investigated, because something is so awful that it's being investigated, you're not going to talk about it. Anyone remember Abu Ghraib, another great example of how to lose America's moral authority and help our enemies? Well, the president wouldn't talk about it while people were under investigation. And now that all the higher-ups have been acquitted, well, they're not going to talk about it because the investigation's over. Same with Scooter Libby. They can't talk about the treason committed by the Vice President of the United States because it was under investigation. And now that Scooter Libby's been convicted and pardoned, well, they're not going to talk about it now. No, they're never going to talk about it. Anyway, apparently what happened in Blackwater is one Iraqi driver doing what would think would be normal, driving on a major highway at some speed, saw a tank, a Humvee, heading in its direction on its side of the road, slammed on its brakes, tried to turn around, as did other cars who had to squeal their brakes so as not to hit him, and the Blackwater guard immediately fired on them. But they're not going to talk about the details, the United States. Can you think of a better way to help our enemies? I can't. Another way to help America's enemies is to help make sure that our press isn't free, that we have propaganda, much like dictatorships around the globe. Recently, Katie Couric described what happened in 2004 when she had the audacity to ask Condoleezza Rice whether she agreed with Vice President Cheney when he said that John Kerry would cause more terrorist attacks to occur in the United States if he were elected president. She ducked the question. Couric asked again. Rice ducked the question again. Couric has now said she got an email from the president of NBC, Robert Wright, forwarding a note from some woman in Atlanta who was complaining that Couric had been too confrontational. Okay, well, people write in with all kinds of things. Why is the president of NBC forwarding this one note from one listener to Katie Couric? Couric said she felt the president was telling him to back off. She wrote back the president saying she tries to be persistent, tries to get good answers in her interviews. If she has Condoleezza on, she's going to ask Condoleezza Rice a difficult question. If she refuses to answer, she's going to ask him again. And if the president of NBC had a problem with this, he should come and talk about with Couric personally. Let's just say Couric is on a different network now. She's on CBS. But NBC, we all know, is run by Jack Welch, the General Electric chairman, who has said that he will never see eye to eye politically with Couric. Do we really want our media controlled by the same government that's already lying to us? Is that any way to win a war on terrorism? Let me ask one last question here. If you wanted to help destroy America, if you wanted to help the terrorists, you'd have to make sure that the war had lasting consequences, not just that it led to thousands of American deaths and helped our enemies get nuclear power and helped more people join the terrorists, help America lose its moral authority. You'd have to make sure that Americans are being paid, are going to have to pay, I should say, for generations. And E.J. Dionne, one of my favorite columnists, asked a wonderful question on Friday. He asked, would conservatives and Republicans support the war in Iraq if they had to pay for it?
Violence flared in Iraq today, claiming the lives of 56 people. 22 died in suicide car bombings in the north aimed at a local police chief and a Sunni sheikh. A report just released by the White House says that al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report, titled National Strategy for Homeland Security, also said al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the United States. 3 heavy days of fighting in Pakistan's troubled tribal region have left 250 dead. Residents say dozens of women and children were killed in the latest airstrikes in the region bordering Afghanistan. The Supreme Court won't hear a lawsuit from a man who claims he was abducted and tortured by the CIA. The Bush administration did not acknowledge that Khalid El-Masri was detained and said state secrets would be revealed if the lawsuit were not blocked. This year's Nobel Prize for Physics has gone to a French and German scientist. The men are credited for independently discovering a physical effect which allows computer and digital devices to store large amounts of data.